Manila Mayor Isko Moreno joins the 2022 presidential race. Moreno's running mate will be Dr. Willie Ong. We'll talk about that tandem with the chairman of Aksyon Demokratiko, Ernest Ramed Jr., as well as political analyst Professor Edna Cole. And President Duterte tells world leaders he will punish those who went beyond the bounds of the law in his bloody war on drugs. Hi, I'm Camina Constantino. Dateline Philippines begins right now. Thanks for joining us. And for those of you watching us on YouTube and on Facebook, glad to have you with us today. And now there are three. Manila Mayor Francisco Isko Moreno becomes the third man to officially announce his bid for the presidency next year, joining Senators Pantilo Lacson and Manny Pacquiao. Our correspondent Katrina Domingo now joins us live from Baseco in Manila with details. Kat, go ahead.
Carmina, he will be a healing president. That's the statement of Manila Mayor Isko Moreno Domagoso when asked if he will be an opposition candidate in the upcoming 2022 national elections. But in the first part of his speech, it seemed that he was going against President Rodrigo Duterte, saying that he here in Manila, he did not leave the fate of Manileños in the hands of several cabinet officials. The Manila mayor also mentioned in the first part of his speech that, without mentioning names actually, he said that even though that he came from the slums, he is not rude, he is not crass, and he has never insulted God and priests or any other officials of religious sectors. The Manila mayor did not really mention any names, but a lot of people, especially online, since this was also live streamed on his Facebook account, assumed that he was pertaining to President Rodrigo Duterte, who has been known for cursing at his critics, including the Catholic Church. Now, Carmina, as for Mayor Domagoso's platforms, he says that he will unveil the full agenda of his campaign in the coming days. But so far, he assures us that he will not base this on promises alone, because as you can see right behind me, he mounted his campaign lodge here in Baseco community, one of his housing programs in Manila, calling it a prototype. Meaning, Carmina, we will expect the Manila mayor in the coming days to use Manila as an example, as a showcase of what he can do in the Philippines. Baseco is also symbolic, not just for Manila Mayor Isko Moreno, but also for his running mate, Dr. Willie Ong, because both of them were born here in Baseco, and coincidentally, on the same day, but on different years, they share the same birthday on October 24. Now, Carmina, aside from these details, Dr. Willie Ong, who was also present in the event earlier, says that he will focus on anything health-related. He says that he will not engage in the usual politicking during election campaigns. He says he will not trade barbs with politicians, but will only focus on helping Moreno solve the COVID-19 pandemic here in the country. Carmina, so far, the tandem has already left the vicinity. They have next activity also around here in Baseco. I think they have a gathering for Muslims before the Manila mayor proceeds or heads back to the city hall. Last night, Carmina, if we can recall, the Manila mayor had a Zoom meeting with other Manila officials where he said that governance in Manila will continue even if he is already running for president. Now, Carmina, to give our viewers more details about what happened earlier, here's an excerpt of those speeches.
I will be a healing president. While ours will be a government of national reconstruction, it will be also be a government of national reconciliation, based on justice and rule of law. Hindi ko po isisisi sa nakaraan ang problemang ating kakarapin. Gusto kong linawin po sa inyo, simula pa lamang ngayon, sapagkat ang taong nambobola, nagsisinungaling sa pagdideklara ng kandidatura pa lamang, ay walang gagawin kundi mambola na at magsanungaling na kapag nakaupo sila. In the days to come, I will release the platform of our governance. Yes, it may be grand, but I assure you, there are also granular. Many of them been pilot tested in the city of Manila.
Parehong-pareho sa gusto ni Yorme. Diba? Ayaw natin ng PowerPoint, ayaw natin ng bola, ayaw natin ng pa-cute. Gusto natin maibigay kay Pedro, kay Juan, kay Pars, kay Mars. Yun lang eh. Isa pa ang nakita ko kay Yorme. Kailangan natin ngayon yung mga health workers. Bakit ako pumayag? Nakita ko yung mga doktor nag-iiyakan. Eh, andito na si Yorme, sinabi sa akin na bahala ka na sa kalusugan, bahala ka na sa gamot. Rally pa sila ng rally. Eh, ito na opportunity. Sino ba ako para tumangki?
Carmina, also important to note that during the press conference, Manila Mayor Esko Moreno Domagoso was asked on his stand on whether or not he will renew the franchise of ABS-CBN should he win the presidency in 2022. The Manila mayor says that he will abide by the rule of law. He says if Congress decides to give ABS-CBN, the Philippines' largest broadcaster, such a privilege, then he will approve it and he will sign it. He guarantees the nation that he will not be vindictive and that he will continue to use his power fairly, saying that the presidential seat should not be used to trample upon any Filipino nationwide and even abroad. Carmina.
Thanks a lot, our correspondent there, Katrina Domingo, joining us live from the city of Manila. Thanks, Kat. Take care and you keep safe. Moving on, Mayor Esko Moreno's campaign strategist believes Dr. Willie Ong is the perfect running mate for the Manila mayor. That's despite public skepticism about the tandem. Lito Banayo reveals Ong was not actually the first choice for Moreno's running mate, but he says a survey they conducted shows people believe Ong could be a good vice president for Moreno.
Nagulat ako because una, your awareness is in the 90s. To the question of whether you would be helping Mayor Esko first as an endorser and second as a vice presidential candidate, the numbers rise a lot from endorser to vice presidential candidate. Mayor Esko did not bother to talk to him about his 16 million followers on Facebook. Instead, he told Doc Willie that, you know, if it had not been for the fact that my vice mayor in Manila is a medical practitioner, I would not have been able to move quickly, you know, prepare my city for the pandemic. But because she was a medical professional, she advised me and I followed.
The first choice to be Moreno's running mate was actually Senator Grace Poe, but Banayo says Senator Poe rejected a potential tandem with the Manila mayor. How do the candidacies of Moreno and Ong affect the presidential and vice presidential races? Now joining us is political analyst Professor Edna Ko. Professor Ko is also the director of the UP Diliman Extension Program in Pampanga. Professor, nice to see you again. Thanks for joining us this afternoon.
Thank you for the invitation, Carmina. Hi, good afternoon.
All right, very interesting discussion right now. We're about to have. You heard the announcement. You've seen it. Mayor Esko Moreno there declaring that he will gun for the presidency in 2022. What do you make of the race so far, at least with those who have declared their intention to run, Professor?
Carmina, so far we have already three candidates who have declared announce their candidacy for the presidency. And Mayor Esko Moreno is the latest. Now, I think things are getting exciting and people do get excited about the prospects of the three candidates. And this brings me to the question, what about the other potential candidates? I think one of the conditions that VP Leni Robredo cited was she's going to be behind a united opposition. But with the proclamation and the announcement of Mayor Isko Moreno, and prior to that of Senator Manny Pacquiao, the question now is which opposition is going to be united, or will there still be an opposition that will be united by VP Leni? But ironically, also the very first coalition that have assembled themselves together, like the Isambayan coalition, is a bit trailing now in the sense that it has been very quiet on that front. And therefore, it raises a lot of questions to some voters. What happened to Isambayan coalition? Will it still field out a candidate for the presidency? Or will VP Leni go local rather than pursue the highest position in the country? So, I mean, the announcement of Isko Moreno add to the luster and the excitement of our presidential candidates, but it also raises a number of questions,
which we're going to go to later on. But first, I want to talk about the declaration as well of Senator Manny Pacquiao, also throwing his hat in the race, saying he does want to run for president in 2022. When you look at the two, both have the same narrative. You know, in a population, in a country where majority of the population live below the poverty line, the pandemic also seemed to further push more people beyond that line. They have the same narrative. They know when they talk about hunger, when they talk about hoisting themselves out of poverty. But what sets these two apart, Professor?
Actually, yes, you're right there. The two have similar backgrounds, similar narratives, I'm sure, for the political narratives that they will use during the campaign. What sets them apart? I think the fact that Manny Pacquiao's background is now that he is occupying a senatorial seat, and he has seen one aspect of the work that is larger than local. I mean, it's national. And as we know, a presidency is a national position. You have to look beyond the local. But on the other hand, you have Mayor Isko Moreno, really from the start, started at the local, really worked his way towards the local. And unfortunately, he was cut down by being mayor through the pandemic. But still, his viewpoint is largely local, largely grounded yet. But the challenge there is he has to look bigger, broader than having a local governance perspective. So I think that's one difference between the two of them.
To that point, do you see this as a liability on the part of the mayor? And do you see this also sort of as a repeat of how a Davao mayor came into power?
Well, the current the Davao mayor taught us and made us realize that leading the whole nation really requires a more unifying, a bigger perspective beyond using authority, which will work probably at the local level. And in the case of Mayor Isko Moreno, that should be a lesson to learn for him if he really aspires to become a president. However, I see that the difference is that the mayor is very earnestly wanting to learn. Incidentally, I had been one of the members of the team that trained him when he was councilor of Manila. And I saw the eagerness to learn, continues to grow in terms of learning, but very rooted. So the yearning, the earnestness to learn is something that I hope he could keep, if only to say that from the local experiences, he could work his way and grow to become broader in perspective, to be national. But by the way, it is not just national. It is also global, because as head of state, one gets engaged into global issues.
To the point that you just made, that you saw him, you're one of those who trained him when he was a young counselor. His rise to power, really, some would say that you can attribute to the sense of survival that was really ingrained in him as a very young boy. As you mentioned a while ago, he had to hoist himself out of poverty, and he really had to rely on those survival instincts. How will those survival instincts, you think, translate into a larger political arena? And how might this be a liability for him in the future?
Well, actually, the instinct thing is a positive characteristic, maybe. It's the ability to survive amidst challenges. And I think that's very positive. The ability to catch up, the ability to understand the situation where he works. I think that's a sign of, not just adaptiveness, but also a talent that not all people are endowed. Mm-hmm. However, the position of the presidency is super, super challenging in the sense that you are pulled from different directions for that position. You are pulled by the pressure of the legislative. You are pulled by the pressure of the rule of law, which you should very well and thoroughly understand. And it cannot just be a matter of survival, or it cannot just be instinctual, if there is a word such as that. But you really have to understand it. One has to also see that because you are dealing with a variety of regions now, the characteristics of the country is such that we are so diverse as a country. We are so diverse in terms of region, in terms of provinces. But and this poses a great challenge on how one will deal with one situation and yet differently from another. So I think the instinct factor is a plus factor, but I'm sure that's not the only way to go about and handle the presidential responsibilities.
One way that he's going to handle presidential responsibilities, if he does win in 2022, is that he said in his speech, he is not going to be consumed by rear view politics. I want to know, what do you think this means when it comes to the issues surrounding the current administration, and also when it comes to the very divisive issue like the Marcoses?
I think he wants to essay the message that he will be focused in terms of service delivery. But again, I have some concern there, in the sense that service delivery at the mayoral level or at the local level, as he has been doing, is not the same as delivering the goods and the services on the national scale. There will be diversion, and there will be some odd challenges in the middle, in between, including probably sectors or groups of people who would want to warn him about liaisoning with probably very difficult characters, very challenging characters. And again, he has to weigh that carefully. I would also say that being president is not a straight jacket of pure service delivery, although that's quite important. But making a political statement is also crucial. It is not a very straightforward language that will click to just the ordinary citizens. It will have to be the smartness of a longer view, a smart language that will also have to deal with and fairly see the language of law and the language of the rules, and the very challenging steps of Philippine bureaucracy, quite complex.
Yeah, Professor, you said the focus is going to be on the delivery of services, especially as we recover and try to get out of this pandemic. But the question is, should that focus be at the expense of not holding people to account?
That's the other point that is related to what I said about having a sense of rule of law and having a sense of firmness in how rules are going to be interpreted in as one goes through delivery of services. It cannot be as easy as just saying we want to bring vaccines and we want to bring ayuda to the population. But one has to be careful about what one steps on in terms of the procedures and the processes. And also, probably he will be watched carefully by in terms of those, let's say, legal concerns, which can be very political.
Okay, Professor, we're running out of time. I do have a few more questions for you, so if we can make our answers brief. In the early surveys, we know that Mayor Isko Moreno really had the numbers for going for him. Do you think it would have been wrong for him not to take advantage of this opportunity?
Well, I think it's he's exactly doing that, Carmina. He takes advantage of the figures that have been given to him. He's inspired by that, actually. And I think that's why he has quickly made the decision today.
All right. Now, we also still haven't heard from Vice President Leni Robredo. Vice President supporters, they are waiting for her to make that decision. But as her supporters wait, how do you think it's looking for her at this point?
At this point, I'm not very... I'm running out of imagination on what next step VP Leni is going to take, unless she moves in the direction of, going local, as she had repeatedly mentioned, going local, not running for the presidency, or it's a bigger risk now of getting everyone's support behind her to run for the presidency.
All right. And of course, we want to talk about Senator Panfilo Lacson and his bid for the presidency. With things shaping up this far, how's it like looking for him?
I think this early, it may be too soon to say, will there be some changes? Even despite the announcement, the proclamation that he's running for the presidency, I think we should be open to the idea that there can be some dribbling, joining together, alliance building. We will see how things go until the last day of the filing of the candidacy. And the same thing goes for VP Leni as well.
And if things go unchanged, meaning, you know, the three individuals who have declared so far stay in their bid, stay on their lane, if other people join in the fray. Some people, Professor, would say that this is good. It's good for the people. You're presenting them with a lot of options. But would a minority, the possibility of having a minority president, what kind of a future will that hold for the country if things go unchanged and we have a minority president who wins in 2022?
We have had before a president who won by a minority vote, but I think what will be good for the people is for as long as the president, no matter how many votes he won, would be able to deliver as promised and as expected by the voters.
Okay, we're going to have to leave it at that. Professor Edna Ko, political analyst and also director of the UP Extension in Pampanga. Thank you so much for joining us today. Take care, Professor. Keep safe.
Thank you. You too, Carmina.
Thanks. Appreciate it. That was a quick look at the weather. Joining us now for more on the Moreno-Ong tandem is the chairman of Moreno's party, Acción Democrático, Ernest Ramil Jr. Ernest, nice to see you again. Thank you for joining us today.
Hi, Carmina. Nice to see you again, and I'm glad to be here.
All right. So glad that you have now a presidential candidate. How or what sets Mayor Isko Moreno apart from those who have already declared their intention to run in 2022, Ernest?
I think all the achievements that he has done for Manila in a short span of time proves how the others are just talking about what they could do. But the mayor of Manila showed that he could do it. And he may be also be able to do it for the whole country. The Bilis Kilos mantra that we're talking about is something that the country needs at this moment.
To the point that he is gunning for the presidency from a local position, how is that not a liability?
Well, you've seen the current president coming from such background as well. You've also seen a former chief executive, although he became vice president, a senator and vice president, but he also came from being a local chief executive, become president as well. So I think it's not a liability, but it's more of his strength, because again, like I said, his accomplishments could speak for him.
Political commentators have also said, and even President Rodrigo Duterte has said, that he sort of overestimated the job before him, that he wasn't really all that prepared in terms of the magnitude of the problems of the country when he became president, coming from a local post. Do you think, or what makes you think, that Mayor Isko Moreno is prepared for the magnitude of problems that awaits him if he does win in 2022?
Well, as to the magnitude of problems that the current administration will leave us, yes, we've been talking about it. We've been preparing his platforms, his plans for the country. So the preparation is right there. As to the commentary that the current president is saying he was so surprised with the magnitude, let me just say, oh, come on. He's just making up excuses for all the failed promises he made in 2016 that he knew all along he won't fulfill. So I think it's just, let me just say the word, palusot.
You know how people are reacting as well. People becoming impatient. Some of the president's supporters have actually said, even from within his own party, that they were really duped by the president, for the lack of a better term. How are you going to assure the public that the same things will not be heard from Mayor Isko Moreno?
Well, when we sat down with him, we also asked him pointed questions, really hard questions, as to, of course, because of the experience that we are having right now, we had in the past 5 years, we're having right now. And he gave us very clear answers. He gave us very clear directions on what he wants to be done. So these are things that we are comfortable. And like I said, again, it's what he said are not all talk. We all saw what he did in Manila, and it's something that we see that he could do with his Bilis Kilos policy for Manila to the country as well.
Ernest, you know, majority of the population here in the Philippines live below the poverty line. The mayor knows this all too well, given that he came from that sector. But so did Senator Manny Pacquiao. They share the same narrative. What sets the mayor apart from the senator?
Well, again, although they do share the same narrative, I think the experience of the mayor for almost, I think, 23 years of public experience and public service experience sets him apart with Senator Pacquiao. Again, he's done a lot of things as a local chief executive. Senator Manny Pacquiao is a legislator. And I can't compare them, you know, with the accomplishments. And although the narrative is pretty much the same that they came from a very poor background. Mayor Isko Moreno, former basurero, kumakain ng pagpag, as we call it right now, you know, and being a sidecar pedicab driver. These were difficulties that he had to overcome, and that's why he understands how the Filipinos are feeling right now. And that's the thing he sees, and that's the thing he wants to take care of.
Now, we heard him in his speech earlier today that when he said that he will not be consumed by rear view politics. Let me ask you, Ernest, what does this mean when it comes to holding people to account, when it comes to the current administration, and when it comes to the Marcoses,
Ernest? All right. Number one, although he said he won't do, he won't go to rear view politics, he did say that the rule of law and justice must prevail. He did say that all those who have done wrong against the government should face justice. All those who may have violated international laws should be held accountable. He also said those things. He just don't want to be seen as someone who's engaging on revenge politics, so to speak. He doesn't want to be seen as someone who's chasing for the heck of chasing them to take them into account. He believes in fairness, the rule of law, and justice, and that should prevail. And that's the thing that he will do as the president.
Ernest, you know, a lot of people are saying it's still in the early days of this presidential run. There's still, you know, alliances that may be formed. The united opposition that has yet to be consolidated. First of all, would you consider yourselves as the true opposition here, Ernest?
Like the president said, Mayor Scott said, we don't want to be tagged as the opposition, the administration. What we are here to representing ourselves. We're open to anyone, anybody who would be willing to work with us towards our agenda, regardless of what color or political background you have. So long as with the Front Democratic, especially, you don't have any baggages that you carry that might be a problem or might present an integrity problem or a character problem. These are the things that, of course, Action Democratico will first look at before we admit them into the party. And that's the same thing I think Mayor Isko is looking at. Hindi naman basta sama ka na lang, pasama ka na lang pasama. But if they have things that they should be held accountable for, they should be held accountable for those things.
Will this openness to working with other sectors also mean that he is willing to slide down? I guess the question is, how far is he willing to go? How far are you willing to go to protect this tandem and not form any alliances that would break apart this tandem with him still being the presidential contender? Ernest.
Carmilla, let me categorically say this, that Mayor Isko Moreno is in it 100%. There will be no sliding down. Although, of course, he continues to talk with a lot of political personalities to unite and to rally all these leaders behind an agenda that is to solve our problems right now. He will not slide down. That I could assure you.
He also said in a speech earlier today that he is going to be a healing president. How far is he willing to go to heal this country?
I think what's lacking, aside from, of course, facing the problems that beset us because of the pandemic, the lost jobs, livelihood, opportunities for the country. We are mired in debt. The country, the government is spending in deficit, huge deficit. That's why we had to borrow. The things that the Mayor Isko will do, he would like to ensure that the minimum basic needs will be taken care of by the next government, by the Moreno administration.
You know, there were a lot of issues that hounded.
And I'm sorry, to your point about the healing presidency, I'm sorry. I think, facing justice and the rule of law should also prevail. I think you mentioned about the Marcoses. If they need to face justice, if the courts will the cases against them in the courts will continue to prosper, it's something that we should all get behind, because the historical revisionism that they're doing right now is so blatant. This should not be happening. A year from now, it will be the 50th anniversary when the dictator declared martial law. And we should not forget about it. The people that were victimized by martial law continue to hurt, and they should be healed because of justice. And it's something that Action Democratico, the Moreno administration, will help heal towards unity and the rule of law.
Ernest, what do you say to people who are still skeptical about the mayor and his run for the presidency, that he will be a good president for the country? The mayor claims that he stands up for Manileños, Batang Maynila siya, he stands up for people. But there are people who are still skeptical of that, given that when he should have stood up against the president, whether it's about the drug war or that Dolomite beach in Manila, he was silent. So what do you say to that criticism?
He did say earlier on that he's willing to collaborate and work with anybody. And with the EJK, you did in our previous interview, you did say that he paraded the drug suspects. And he did that to show that he isn't killing people. The right to life to him is very important. The right to fair justice to him is very important. And that is why, without categorically calling on or calling out the president, he's showing that he does things differently. He's not like the president who's always kill, kill, kill. He is always for justice. He's always for the right to life. He's always for human rights. In fact, when these alleged suspects were paraded, their backs were turned and their faces were not shown because of the consideration for their human rights.
And that he stood up against the president rather belatedly only because he had his own ambitions to protect. What do you say about that criticism?
These criticisms may appear to them that's always been like that. But these criticisms, I think, are unfair because although he wasn't so vocal about it, every now and then he would praise what's being done right, but he would also criticize what's being done wrong. By showing and by leading and doing the right thing here in Manila.
Finally, you're going to go up against a Goliath here. What's the game plan of Action Democratico?
I think history is with us. Let me just say, aside from having a clear game plan, history is with the party, with Action Democratico, with Mayor Sco Moreno. All the Goliaths in the past, with their huge machinery behind them, did not win. Probably with the exception of one who allegedly cheated his or her way to the presidency. But all those machineries, vaunted machineries, did not make it. What's very important is the authenticity of the candidate. What's very important is the clear message that he delivers. What's very important are the plans and the achievements and the accomplishments that he could show to our people. And I think that's now beginning to be seen by a lot of people. Some politicians, in fact, are reaching out to the party, wanting to join Action Democratico. But I'm just saying we have a process, so we won't be able to do that magically overnight. So they have to go through the process before they could be admitted to the party.
We're going to take a break now. But before we go into that, we'd like to thank you, Ernest Romel Jr., chairman of Action Democratico. Thanks again. Take care. And keep
safe. You too. Stay safe. Bye.
Okay, thanks. Right, as I said, we're going to go to a break. Up ahead, President Rodrigo Duterte vows accountability in his bloody war on drugs in a speech before the UN General Assembly. We'll give you details when we return. You're watching Dateline Philippines here on ANC. Back here still on Dateline Philippines here on ANC. The Philippine Health Department reports a decrease in the case fatality rate in the country's latest COVID-19 data. Figures released by the DOH showed the Case fatality rate is down to 1.47% this year from 2.47 in 2020. The case fatality rate among senior citizens has also gone down. Health officials credit vaccination for the decline in the numbers. On Tuesday, over 16,000 new cases were confirmed, bringing the nationwide tally to over 2.4 million. The Philippines eyeing to set up a fill and finish facility for COVID-19 vaccines next year. That's according to Food and Drug Administration Director General Eric Domingo. He says the government is already in talks with several multinational manufacturers as well as local companies.
Para po yung mga bakuna, kung i-manufacture man yung active ingredients sa ibang bansa, pag inangkat po dito ng malalaking volume, pagdating dito, tsaka na natin siya ilalagay, katulad po na sa picture, sa mga vials, sa mga syringe, para po pagbasan po ang pag-manufacture. Meron namang mga existing factories na rito na makakapasa naman po sa standards, no, for fill and finish. Yung mga existing manufacturer na natin na baka maaaring i-realign nila, no, sa mula sa ibang gamot na injectables to vaccine. So possible yun. Gusto rin natin na makapag-branch out din sila into other vaccines na kinagamit natin sa ating mga regular na vaccination programs. Kasi sa ngayon po, talagang lahat ng bakuna sa Pilipinas ay ini-import natin for other vaccination programs or for COVID-19.
Philippine President Rodrigo Duterte vows accountability for anyone who went beyond the bounds of his bloody war on drugs. During his speech at the UN General Assembly, Duterte said he instructed authorities to review the conduct of his campaign. The war on drugs has killed thousands of suspected drug dealers and users since Duterte took office in 2016. Duterte also appeared to reject the International Criminal Court's probe into possible crimes against humanity he may have committed.
The Filipino people want to live in peace, security in their homes and communities, free from harm and danger from the lawless. But achieving this goal has not been without challenges. I say this in no uncertain terms. The law applies to all. I have instructed the Department of Justice and the Philippine National Police to review the conduct of our campaign against illegal drugs. Those found to have acted beyond bounds during operations shall be made accountable before our laws.
Meaningful change to be enduring must come from within. The imposition of one's will over another, no matter how noble the intent, has never worked in the past, and it never will be in the future.
For the group Human Rights Watch, Duterte's speech is his last-ditch attempt to mislead the international community about the catastrophic human rights situation in the Philippines. Aside from his drug war, Duterte's speech also covered the pandemic and climate change.
Rich countries hoard life-saving vaccines while poor nations wait for trickles. They now talk of booster shots while developing countries consider half doses just to get by. This is shocking beyond belief and must be condemned for what it is, a selfish act that can either be justified rationally or morally. The risks and burden of a warming climate are simply not the same for everyone. The greatest injustice here is that those who suffer the most are those the least responsible for this existential crisis.
As we reported, Manila Mayor Isko Moreno and Dr. Willie Ong have officially announced their tandem for the 2022 national elections. The partnership raised a lot of eyebrows, with Moreno's campaign strategist Lito Banayo admitting Dr. Ong wasn't the first choice to be Moreno's running mate. Ong's return to politics also comes as a surprise. See, back in 2019, I spoke to Ong and he vowed never to run again after losing that year's senatorial race.
Hindi ako epal eh. I don't wait 3 years in order to run and run again. Right now, my patients cannot wait 3 years. Some will die soon. So in a few days, in a few weeks, where whenever God opens a door, maybe it's a corporation who will get me, maybe it's a TV show, maybe a politician I've met will get me to help them in their city, I would do it. Mm. I need to save lives now. Mm. So I'm thinking what I can do now.
That was an interview that we had with Dr. Ong back in 2019 after he had lost in the Senate race. And that'll do it for today. Thank you for joining us. I'm Carmina Constantino. If you want to revisit today's episode, Dateline Philippines podcast is on Spotify and Apple Podcast. Playback this newscast too on ANC's YouTube channel and on ANC 24/7 on Facebook. Keep safe. Keep it here on ANC.